Hey everybody, I'm C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tom, Tit, and Baobab.
Welcome back to Tom, Tit, and Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee-inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them.
Jen, let's talk about the Pooteki Teki.
Let's talk about what?
Oh, did you prefer the Moripork? Or maybe the Dotterel?
You know, I had that dream that we weren't funny anymore.
Right.
Am I dreaming again? Except now, instead of us being unfunny, you're speaking gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook. What a good word. It's kind of Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
It is.
Does Sam count it?
I'm going to guess it has too many letters in it. But if I were still dreaming, I might know to respond to you that as much as I appreciate Pooteki-tekis, how do you say it?
Pooteki-tekis.
Pooteki-tekis, more porks, and Dotterels. I, of course, would always vote for the Tom Tit.
Yeah, I knew you understood me.
Listeners, for those of you living under a cultural rock this week, we are, of course, talking about John Oliver's successful campaign to make the Pooteki-teki.
Pooteki-teki.
I cannot say the Pooteki-teki, the bird of the century in New Zealand.
Yes, thanks to friend of the show, Leslie, for alerting us to this. This was a contest put on by the New Zealand conservation group, Forest and Bird. They actually do the contest every year, but since it's their 100-year anniversary, they upped it to Bird of the Century this year. Anyway, John Oliver fans crashed the voting system with their overwhelming support of the Pooteki-teki.
Yeah, and the news outlets are reporting a controversy about foreign election interference.
Yes, but it's a very soft controversy. Everyone seems pretty happy about all the attention.
Yeah, we know there's much more serious controversy.
Yes, where is Tom Tit in the vote count?
A native New Zealand bird.
Listeners, next year it's on. Can we beat
yeah.
John Oliver?
Absolutely. You know, we must have roughly the same audience.
Yeah, I think so. I do have to say, Jen, when we named this podcast Tom, Tit, and Baobab, we did it because we thought, hey, these are two random, somewhat obscure words that Sam decided to count in the B. But, you know, I never realized how many cool bird words there are.
True.
I do appreciate how the bee has introduced us in one way or the other to nature.
That might be pushing it, Z.
Maybe.
I wonder if there were any birds in the bee this week.
You're ready to go, huh? All right, let's talk about it. The Week in Bees.
This is the part of the show where we talk about bees from the previous week. Today, we're starting with Saturday, November 11th, and ending with Friday, November 17th. So, C, were there birds this week?
The loony!
The loony, but also the linnet.
So, you heard me go, loony! I didn't go, linnet, because I know I started this whole thing with, like, birds, and we love birds, but, like, should I have known the linnet?
No.
Okay. The linnet was a bird.
I got it, but I actually didn't know it was a bird until I looked it up.
You just guessed the letters. Yeah. It was on Sunday the 12th, and yes, I did not get linnet because it's not a word I should know, but now that I think that we should know every bird, and I'm going to be a birding lady, I want Pooteki-teki, that's all I got to say.
I really do, too. Maybe our campaign should be, maybe we should get John Oliver to campaign to get it in the B.
Oh, I like it. Very nice. Yeah. All right. What other words this week? What other maybe not?
Well, since we're talking about loony, let's talk Saturday, November 11th, when loony is in the puzzle. There was no goonie.
Yeah, I wondered that too. If it was funny because I was like, oh, Goonie, does he count it like this? And then I was like, oh, Goonie's not a real word, even though I want it to be.
It's totally a real word.
It's not. It's the Goonies. I mean, I love it, but, you know.
I say it's a real word. And I think it's in the dictionary, but I think it's in the dictionary as Goonies.
I think it's funny that there's Noogie on that day.
I thought so too. And I actually didn't finish the puzzle that day. And I am pretty sure I did not get Noogie.
But you like to give noogies.
No, I don't. I don't actually like anything about noogies. I don't even like saying that word. It's actually disturbing me to say it.
I have to say, I love saying the word noogies.
You do?
It's kind of funny, noogie. I just don't like to give noogies.
I don't like it. Oh, wait. A goonie is a bird.
Oh, my God. Wait, are you serious? So it's not the way we want goonie to come in.
It's not spelled that way.
Well, then that's why. What are you talking
except
about?
Except in the plural, Goonies, G-O-O-N-I-E-S.
Yes, but a Goonies is G-O-O-N-Y.
Albatross.
G-O-O-N-Y is what we're going for.
G-O-O-N-E-Y or just with a Y.
Okay. Or E-Y, you're saying?
Or E-Y.
Could be either way. Okay, cool.
Kind of like omelet and omelette.
Oh my God. I know. So silly, but at least we knew it's always in there, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Since you talked about words that we like saying, like I like saying noogie, can I also say I like saying liniment, which is on Sunday the 12th. And I don't know why. I just like saying liniment and it always makes me happy when it's in there.
I like that word too.
Oh, weird. Why do you like it?
I don't know. For the same reason.
Okay, cool.
It just is kind of like an interesting word, right? And also that day, belittlement was a word, which really like.
Well,
I mean, I don't like belittling people, but I
was
thinking it as a word. And entitlement, which I also don't like as a thing, but I like as a word.
Unless it's for us. I like my entitlement. But
yes, your entitlement. Am I entitled on Sunday, November 12th, to not like the word beltline?
Why don't you like the word beltline? It's been in there before.
I know. And we might have even talked about it before.
I think we did. And we thought it was weird. I guess that's true. But now I know it's a word. So I'm like,
I don't know, because it's your waist, right?
Well, yeah, below or above your belt line.
It's not a belt line. It's a waist. Do people even wear belts anymore? Everybody wears like exercise clothes now.
Well, that's true for me. I don't think it's true for you.
No, I'm pretty sure it's true for the world.
I love
but I don't wear belts.
I actually do wear belts if I'm wearing non-exercise clothes because I need my pants to stay up.
Which happens like never.
Hey, I do sometimes wear jeans. It has happened before. But I think that leisure wear is very appropriate netiquette. See how I threw that in there?
No, that's not netiquette.
When I'm on the net, I'm at home and I'm wearing my leisure clothes. So come on.
Maybe, yeah. It's netiquette. Yeah.
Yes. What'd you think of it?
Netiquette? I think it's a silly word.
Yes.
By the way, we're talking about Friday 11/17, the middle cue puzzle, the word netiquette, like etiquette, but on the net.
Right.
I think it's a goofy word.
Like netizen.
Oh, yeah. I think they're both goofy words. I feel like I have either read or seen netiquette online.
I hear you.
And I don't like it. I wouldn't say it, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
But you told me you were really mad at this puzzle.
No, I hated today, the Friday puzzle. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to complain about a word from today that I really hated the most, which is quieten.
Wait.
And
quieten?
Q-U-I-E-T-E-N.
That wasn't in there?
Yes, it is. How'd you get queen if you didn't get quieten? You probably got it by accident because it's not a
no,
effing
word.
No,
because I thought I tried to put it in and it said it wasn't a word.
Okay. It is a word. It's British. It's not a real word. It's ridiculous.
It's not a real word. When I put it in, I thought it was ridiculous, but I put it in anyway.
Well, you've got it.
You're right. It is in the puzzle and I did get it.
And I think the reason he counts it is because basically, there just weren't that many words because it was a stupid idea for a puzzle.
Yeah.
All you ended up having is like, okay, again, did I check off all the ing things I could have? There wasn't anything really interesting to think about.
I thought quinine was kind of interesting.
Quinine's a good word and that's fine. But in general, it was like, you know, variations on stupid words. And because the cue was in the middle, you knew what to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to throw in things like netiquette and quieten just to act like, oh, there's a couple words you have to think about.
Yeah, I think that quieten is much worse to me than netiquette.
I agree. That's why I got so mad.
And I'm reading the sample sentence from Oxford Languages, which is her mother was trying to quieten her. Huh?
Because, and it's
why
British.
Wouldn't it just
it's
be
British.
To quiet her?
Yeah, exactly. In America. We're in America. How many times have tell him that.
Okay, but no, I can't. That, to me, is not a good reason for a word not to be in the B, because I was really mad today that tuque, T-U-Q-U-E, was not in the puzzle, and apparently so is everybody online, because...
And stop. That is an English word, an American word at this point, because it's in lots of our favorite songs, including one of our favorite Christmas songs since the holidays are coming up. Five golden tuques. It's in the...
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Just wait till our Christmas episode. I'm going to sing them all. But five golden toques for those of you who are in the know, you know. All right.
I'm not in the know, but a toque for anybody that doesn't know is...
Everybody knows what a toque is.
Canadian English. Well, Sam apparently doesn't know what it is. It's like a hat, like a beanie.
Yes. It's your toque.
Yeah. That was ridiculous that that was not counted.
I'm totally with you.
On Thursday, the 16th.
Yes.
Pandit.
You know what's weird? So I thought I got queen, which means I got pandit without knowing I got pandit. So it's kind of like you're quiet and like, how did I get that word?
D-I-T. It has nothing to do with panda bears. It is a wise or learned man in India, often used as an honorary title.
I don't know. It's been in there before, right?
No, I don't think so.
I think so. These letters have been there.
I don't remember that at all. I just think it's so weird. Like, that's such an obscure word.
Well, is it?
It's more obscure than toque. Let's put it that way.
To a certain group of people. I don't know. I didn't know Pandit. I apparently got Pandit, but I don't know. I could go either way with it.
I'm checking out the history of it because I don't remember ever seeing it there before. Maybe I didn't get it before.
Yeah, maybe you always miss Pandit.
Oh, yeah. It's been in three solution sets, but the last time it was in was February 18th, 2021. And I don't think I was doing the Bee online at that point. So I think this was the first time for me.
On my personal history, I have to say on Monday the 13th,
yeah,
I got almost a queen pretty quickly. And I was missing one word. Mm-hmm. And then I started walking around. I started singing the log roll song.
I don't know how you remembered the log roll song. Can you sing it?
No, I cannot. Let's keep going.
Can you sing something else? Wednesday, 11:15, meatloaf.
So meatloaf was the pangram that day, which I thought was funny. I think Jen thought was funny. And my mom is like, I cannot find the pangram. So I go, I have a good hint. Jen goes, I have a good hint. And I was hoping that we'd both give hints in different directions of meatloaf, as we did.
We did very different directions.
It was great. I told my mother that it was something I hated as a kid. And then my mom, on text, she just said celery, which I do hate celery. And I said, yes, but not with the letters. She goes, oh, I don't know. And then Jen gave a hint.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Right. And then my mother had no idea because she always claims that she knows nothing about Meatloaf the singer. This is like an ongoing thing. That
really?
She hates Meatloaf. But she hates that kind of music. She was, yeah. I'm ever but, love you, so don't be sad. I'm really going to keep singing.
Boom, two out of three ain't bad.
And now you know why I do all the singing, listeners.
But you know, my throat is a little bit sore, so I was singing that very high range, out of my range. Well, and I'm actually like wondering, how does Meatloaf sing that? Because he does not have a high voice, and I feel like that's a
all
song
of his things are in
voice.
That falsetto. You know it.
Yeah.
But what was funny is then I talked to my mom on the phone later that day, and I said, Mom, did you ever get the pangram? And she said, no. And I said, so my hint didn't help you about things I didn't like as a kid? She goes, I don't know. What didn't you like as a kid? You hated meatloaf. And I said, yeah. She's so funny.
That has absolutely nothing to do with the word that I'm going to mention next.
Okay, go for it.
Saturday, it was something that was funny. Saturday, 11:11, legging.
Yes, you're right. Nothing.
What
to do
is
with
a
it?
Single legging?
Oh, wait, legging it up the stairs.
No.
Yes. You can say I'm legging it up the stairs.
That is not the dictionary definition.
I bet there is a verb definition of legging.
In Merriam-Webster. Well, maybe there is. Like legged legging.
Yes, I know this. Yeah. I just looked. Legging is a verb.
I've actually never heard legged in that sense.
So what's interesting, I looked up legging, and actually in Merriam-Webster, it is a noun, but it is a verb in other sources. But what's weird is it is legging single, and then they say plural, leggings, but also less commonly.
And all of the
legging,
sample sentences that come up, and we already discussed this before, that they must be AI, are leggings.
Right.
None of them are legging.
True.
But I think you're right. I think because I just looked up leg, the verb, and they do have legged and legging here. I just didn't know that was a thing.
You know what else is interesting? The first known use of the word history of leggings, I'm still going to say leggings,
yeah,
is 1718.
Well, it's tights.
Yeah, but it's just funny to think of back in the day in the 1700s and be like, I'm wearing my leggings.
Well, like, think of like Louis the 14th.
I think he was like, I'm wearing leggings. I'm Louis the 14th.
He wore high-heeled shoes.
I don't think he would have admitted it.
He did admit it. In his pictures, you see his legs and his tights his and his high-heeled
legging.
Shoes.
He likes to wear his legging.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Jen, you got anything you have to talk about? Because I quit.
Well, now that you've quit, we can't unquit.
All right, then let's talk about the word of the week. This is the part of the show where we take a closer look at one word from the previous week's puzzles. Jen, we got pictures of cool bookmobiles in response to my word last week. How can you possibly top me?
Well, see, I thought it was only right, given my deep dive into cocktail, that today we focus on teetotal.
Teetotal. I like
T-E-E-T-O-T-A-L. So, first off, what does teetotal mean?
To not drink. Is that the way I think of it?
Yes. Teetotal is an adjective referring to complete abstention from alcoholic drinks. And actually, when you try to use it in a sentence, it's kind of weird as an adjective. So, I came up with two sample sentences.
Okay.
The first one. In college, he liked to distinguish himself from his fraternity brothers by telling people that he was teetotal. Secondly, and this is a true story, this sentence. My parents, who are since divorced, threw a teetotal wedding reception.
Did they really?
They did.
Why?
And everybody was like, oh my God, that was the worst reception ever.
Yeah, why did they do that?
Because my dad was super religious back then.
But he didn't drink?
He was teetotal.
Wait, so he was a conservative? I mean, because your mother is so non-conservative. He was a conservative religious person when your parents got married?
Correct.
I thought your dad was always the minister who didn't believe in God.
That only happened more recently.
Jen's dad is very cool, for those of you who are wondering if I'm making fun. I am not.
In any case, they did have a teetotal wedding. I think maybe that use of teetotal as an adjective is more like British English, but I don't know. So when you are teetotal, you are adhering to the principle or practice referred to as teetotalism.
Okay.
And if you adhere to that or advocate for it, you are a teetotalist.
Ooh,
or a teetotaler. And that, I think teetotaler is the form that I most know this word in.
Yeah.
What about
that's
you?
That's what I would think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking about the word and like, where does it come from? Teetotal, the total part is pretty obvious, right?
Right.
Like total means complete or absolute. And total traces back to Latin totus, meaning all at once, the whole entire, altogether. So
okay.
The meaning of total really has not changed for hundreds of years.
The T, and, though, sorry, I was just assuming where you were going to go.
Right. What is the T at the beginning? Does that have to do with abstention from alcohol? Because total by itself has nothing to do with alcohol. Like, how did that become connected and what does it mean? So teetotalism arose with the temperance movement in England and the United States in the 1820s and 30s. And it has nothing to do with tea, as in T-E-A. There are people who say, oh, well, it must be teetotal because they drank tea instead of alcohol. And so it's teetotal.
Nah.
But no.
Oh.
There is one story that attributes it to Lyman Beecher, who was a minister and the co-founder of the American Temperance Society. And Beecher would write a T next to the names of meeting attendees to indicate that they had pledged total abstinence. They were totally opposed to alcohol. And there's another similar account that attributes it to the Reverend Joe Jewell, who was the secretary of a temperance society in New York in 1818. And it's basically the same story, that he had people make a pledge to be total abstainers as opposed to like partial abstainers.
Mm-hmm.
So there were two classes of people that would like pledge, and some of them would have an OP next to their name for old pledge, and then others would have a T for new or total pledge. So the idea that you have a T next to your name then makes you a teetotaler. But that all is a little bit murky. Most commonly accepted is that the word teetotal was first used as an adjective referring to complete abstention from alcoholic drinks in 1833 in a speech by a guy named Richard Turner. Joseph Livesley, who founded the first total abstinence society in England in 1832, was in the audience when Turner gave the speech. And so Livesley popularized the word in a magazine that he started called the Preston Temperance Advocate, where he called it Dickie Turner's word. So Richard Turner, Dickie Turner was his nickname, and teetotal was Dickie Turner's word. In 1836, there was a full-page picture of Turner in the magazine with the caption, quote, Dickie Turner now celebrated as being the author of the word teetotal. And that same sentence is on Dickie Turner's tombstone. So most people think that he did. He is the person that like linked it to alcohol abstinence, but he did not invent the word. The idea of using tea before total goes back to the early 1800s. It was common even before it got attached to alcohol. There's an 1810 story that says he differed teetotally from the attorney in his last assertion. Or 1832, I know every bird that comes to the coast, and this is a teetotal stranger. So teetotal is actually a reduplicative. It's used for emphasis. You're not totally lost, you're teetotally lost. You're not just totally finished, you're teetotally finished, right? So that is where teetotal comes from. Cool. They were not just total abstainers. They were capital T total abstainers. And I think that I teetotally topped you.
I don't know if you topped me, but I do like the way you just said that.
See, Celia?
That was pretty good. Like scrum-diddly-dumption.
Do you know any other words that are like that? I was trying to think, are there any other words that have that reduplicative just like first letter in them?
I don't know. We'll have to think. Put it on the list.
Or we can just like use it for things. Like... Amazing.
Let's see if any of them come up in our next segment, Jen. It's time for You Unbelievable Words. Unbelievable Words is just fun, or as you want to say, fun.
Fun.
Or I could just fill it with bird names.
Yes, or any other cool words that we come across in places other than the bee.
What's funny is, when I'm looking at places other than the bee and I don't know a word, very often it's a bird name. So I almost picked another one for this week, but...
Okay, so your word is not a bird.
No, I decided to go in a different direction this week. My word is abomasum.
Abomasum. Can you spell that?
I don't actually know that's how you say it. Abomasum. A-B-O-M-A-S-U-M. And instead of a bird, I'm talking about a cow or a sheep, specifically the fourth stomach of a ruminant, such as a cow or a sheep.
Huh.
Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
Are you wondering what the other three stomachs are named? I do not know. Put that on the list.
You make me do all the work, Cecilia.
That's all right. So what's your word, Jen?
My word is katzenjammer.
Katzenjammer. I like it.
So katzenjammer, K-A-T-Z-E-N-J-A-M-M-E-R, has three different definitions. The first one is very appropriate given my deep dive into teetotaling, which is hangover.
Mm.
When you have a hangover, it's a katzenjammer.
Mm.
And if you teetotaled, you wouldn't ever have a katzenjammer. That's my sample sentence for that.
Correct.
The second and third definitions in order are distress and discordant clamor or confusion.
Well, this is all how you feel when you're drunk. Yes.
Yeah, because, well, the word katzenjammer literally means cat and distress.
Ah.
Cats.
Is it German?
Jammer.
This seems like a German.
German.
Yeah.
It basically means to caterwaul.
Ah,
so
one
when
of
you're
your
in
other
distress,
favorite words.
You're experiencing katzenjammer.
That's nice, Jen. You know what I think is like a katzenjammer?
What's
when you
that?
Get really wild, like in the wild card. Jen, speaking of katzenjammer, for the wild card, I want to talk about another controversy.
Wait, katzenjammer is not a controversy.
It's craziness. I want to talk about craziness.
About birds?
No, not birds this time. Scrabble.
Oh, Scrabble.
You don't sound excited at all. You wanted to talk about birds, didn't you?
Well, I love Scrabble.
Yeah.
But I also love birds.
All right. So let's talk about this article that was also sent to us by Leslie.
Yes.
So she gave us lots of good material this week. Thanks, Leslie. And this article is called Horse Feathers. And it's from Slate. It's by Stefan Fatsis. He does a podcast on Slate. He also is a Scrabble champion himself.
Yeah.
This article is about new words in Scrabble. And before we even get to the heart of the article, I have to say, Jen, I know you still play Scrabble. Mm-hmm. I used to be real into Scrabble, loved Scrabble as a kid, was really good at Scrabble. And then it just got too much. And I have not played Scrabble in years. I get super annoyed almost all the time. If I'm in a Scrabble game, people just take too long, they get too nuts. And everything about this article reminded me about why I don't play Scrabble anymore. Starting with the fact that ZZZ is now counted in Scrabble. Like, that's not even the point of this article. That's just like understood. Okay.
But also,
that's ridiculous.
Also understand that in order to spell ZZZ, you would need to get the Z tile and both of the blanks.
I understand. What I'm saying is,
so it's
that is
almost
ridiculous.
Impossible.
That is ridiculous. And basically what this article explained is that there's a new list of words that are allowed in Scrabble. Like, they just decided to let on like 4,700 more words.
Okay. Let me interrupt you really quick to make an important distinction.
Yes.
There is a schism in the Scrabble like governance. There's this one sector that runs the tournaments. There's another sector that is responsible for the Scrabble dictionary. So these words that we're talking about are not Scrabble dictionary words. These are words that are on the official tournament list, which is a different thing.
Which would be important if you want to, in club and tournament Scrabble.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're trying to start playing competitive Scrabble, you need to know these 4,700 new words, which, first off, let's just say that the official Scrabble Players Dictionary has a ridiculous amount of stupid words.
Yes.
Then you're going to add 4,700 new NASPA games approved words. That's the organization. Mm-hmm. And it's fully nuts. And this still isn't actually the problem that this article is talking about. There's no problem that you would need to know.
Well, there are multiple problems.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, when you get to that, you start to appreciate, or at least I started to appreciate Sam and the fact that he curates a list. Because sometimes it's just too much, Jen.
So do you want to talk about what the actual controversies are?
Sure. So the actual controversy, there's a few. So basically they decided, and this is NAPSA, the organization decided to allow different words in a variety of categories. And the first group of words that people got annoyed about are the reinstatement of slurs. And I thought this was super interesting because it's something we've talked about on here before, and I have sympathy in both directions on this one. This is in 2020 around George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter protests. The organization decided to remove about 250 words that were deleted according to, quote, two standards that the group created. Either strict, and that means that all dictionary sources say that it's at least often offensive, or less strict, that the word is at most only sometimes offensive or is an alternative in offensive meaning. Okay. So for 3 years, these 250 words have been off. But then they decided this year, well, that less strict standard is a little bit too much. And I thought it was interesting to have two different standards. And I thought that was a nice way to think about it, because there was a word, I had a conversation with our listener, Sarah, online about tongue, because she wrote us back when we talked about tongue and said, oh yeah, it was in old, it's a Chinese gang, for those of you who don't remember, that surprised me and Jennifer, that's the definition of tongue, T-O-N-G. And she said, oh yeah, it was used in Sherlock Holmes. And as soon as I heard that it was British and meant to do devious Chinese gangs, I said, well, that's an offensive word.
Yeah.
And when I looked up to see, isn't an offensive word, it's like, it's not on anyone's radar, but it definitely is offensive.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question, but it's not on anyone's radar. And it was totally, like, you know, in the B, and it's a word that, since people aren't paying attention, so you could go, well, But there's another definition, mm-hmm. and that definition is to tongue, as we discussed, to use tongues.
Right.
So then it would use that less strict definition and be included in the B.
But there are other words like that that I'm not going to say that have two meanings that are not included in the B, and but that have like one meaning that is a slur and one that's not. And those I don't necessarily think should be restated in the B.
So should there be more groups than that? Or should anything, I mean, it's interesting to think that there's some words that are just out because they're always mm-hmm. offensive, and some words that might be less. And then should there be three levels, or should there be like, should time be in the B or not?
I don't know. It's really difficult because it also is like so much of it is what individuals associate with words. I mean, there are certain words that we all agree upon that we know are slurs, that we know we shouldn't say, and that we wouldn't be comfortable playing in a word game, right?
Right.
And then there are things like bimbo, which wasn't in the B last week, ostensibly because it's a slur. And like, do I think the word bimbo should be allowed in the B?
I do.
Like, I don't have an issue.
But
with
I like
that.
But maybe ways to categorize. Is it all like, do does every dictionary say that it's offensive or not? I just thought that was interesting. I thought it was a nice.
It was interesting. I think it's a really thorny issue. I would not want to be the person responsible for making those categories.
Right.
The thing that I thought was really interesting about the article is that they interview a bunch of Scrabble champions and high-ranking Scrabble players who were like, we didn't ask for these words to be brought back.
Right.
We don't have a problem with them being removed. And why did these people at the organization all of a sudden decide that they were going to reinstate these words?
Right. Or it's weird to take them out because you think they're offensive and then be like, yeah, we've decided they're not that offensive. Like, that's just weird.
Yeah.
I'm with them, especially when, and here's the other issue, you could add ESs, IERs, and IESs to apparently every word possible. And the logic on this one was insane. Insane. So
I'm laughing just because I cracked.
Oh, I was laughing. Evil. Yes, me too. I was laughing out loud reading this.
Yeah.
So basically, they got this guy, Chew, C-H-E-W. He is, who is Chew again? I can't even remember.
I think isn't he the head of the tournament organization?
Maybe. So he is not a professional lexicographer. And he basically looked at the dictionary and he doesn't.
Yeah, hold on. He is the chief executive, John Chu, of NASPA, which is the tournament organization.
So him and his dictionary committee group were looking to see like, well, where would we put S's and E's? And they noted something interesting, which is that most dictionaries aren't real clear on the use of S's or E's or IEDs and IERs. And for a variety of reasons, dictionaries, I guess, just put like a blanket, hey, this is when you would add an S or an ES in the mm-hmm. front.
What they did is they took this rule that, as Peter Sokolowski, who is the editor-in-chief of Merriam-Webster, explained, is like a general rule that is to be applied. Like, it does not apply across the board, which is this idea of adding an ES to a word that doesn't have a clear ending. But they were like, we're going to be consistent, so we're doing it to everything, including words that were already plurals.
Which is how you get
horse feathers.
yes, like the best one, feces.
Feces. I know.
Okay, what word did you think? Oh, yeah, feces. Good.
Well, they said,
who thought there was one feces?
Yeah, listen.
Like, that's a more interesting
so
thing.
So they asked John Chu about feces, and he said that we look for credible published citations to support them. And then the article says, in a database for members, NASPA lists three citations for feces.
Oh my
I can't
gosh.
Even pronounce it. One's a story from Fox News.
Yeah, exactly, which was great too.
One is a passage in a textbook about Japanese marine life. And the third is a 1934 article about fox and fur ranching.
Oh my God. It's
so
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, here's a good one. You're bro.
Yeah.
You can be bro-y, which apparently is now a word in Merriam-Webster. Mm-hmm. So of course you could be broier.
Right.
Or you could be the broiest. which I have to say, I was like, yeah, I'm with it.
I have to tell you, that one, I was also kind of like, yeah, why not? It's coming, you know, it's going to come sooner or later that we're going to turn it into those things. I just still can't.
Gratinet? Did you see the gratinet one?
Oh my gosh, yes. You want to explain that?
So they had gratinade, which would be gratinet, G-R-A-T-I-N-E-E, with another E-D. And basically, they decided that was a word because it was in some entry for the Canadian Oxford Dictionary, except it was almost clearly a typo.
Yeah.
So, because there's an accent on gratinet and there's no way the accent would be where it was if they actually meant it to have three E's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like somebody did this and just was like, I don't care. I'm going to throw all common sense away. Yeah. And then like, people have to play like that. It's insane.
So, yeah. So this is ridiculous. I would not want to be in a Scrabble tournament with the, or maybe I would be. Maybe I can now be the Scrabble world champion because I will just go in there and make up words all over the place. I mean, what's insane is that they used to actually have word experts who reviewed these lists. Like, I think that people from Merriam-Webster or some other dictionaries had a role in it. And then they just decided, like, no, we're just going to put whatever words we want in.
Yeah, I think it's bizarre. And what I think is really bizarre is, why would Scrabble, I mean, not just use basically Merriam-Webster? Like the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Like, what's the benefit of going, no, we want to make our own list, even though we're not lexicographers. We're just, you know, we need to have a list that's different so that if you want to play a tournament, I mean, already my understanding of tournament Scrabble is that you just have to memorize an insane amount of words, which to me, again, is the problem.
Well,
of now
I mean, there's
Scrabble.
Also, yes, and there's also strategy involved in it as well.
Right, but of course there's strategy, but that was the fun part. But if so much of it is basically learn a word list, you know what I mean?
Well,
memorize
now
a word list.
You don't have to learn a word list. You could just put down anything. Like subspecies is.
Yeah, it's just unnecessary. Like, why in the world would you do this? And why did they do this now? Mm-hmm. I was curious about that. What made them think suddenly they had to add almost 5,000 words?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, as far as why they have to have their own dictionary, I kind of understand that because they want to have a more expansive list than what's in the traditional dictionary. Because it gives you more options
One nice
of things
thing
to
about
play.
No, I like about the B that, I mean, as much as we complain about certain things not being in there, it is really nice that you don't have to get like any word that could possibly be made possibly in some obscure dictionary. I mean, that makes it a different game.
I don't mind that. And I understand wanting to have a more expansive dictionary. However, I don't understand why they decided to bring all of these words back when no one was asking them to. And I really think it's just sloppy.
To have horse feathers.
To have horse feathers. That's like I would be embarrassed. And that's the thing. They don't, the guy, John Chu, he's not even apologetic about it.
No, he argued for feces.
He argued for feces. I mean,
that right there is the problem of our world, Jen.
Well, that's how the article ends. I loved the last line of the article.
Arguing for feces.
The last line of the article was one of the high-ranking Scrabble players, Carl Johnson, said, quote, I predict that in 10,000 years, archaeologists will unearth a copy of NASPA's list and cite horse feathers' as a critical moment in the collapse of Western civilization.
I think you've said it all. So, guys, that's it for this episode of Tom, Tit, and Baobab.
Thanks for being with us. If you think this show is for the birds, you don't have to come back next week. But if you like it, we drop a new episode.
If you love birds like
us. We drop a new episode of TNB every Monday.
Until then, be in touch. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. You can also email us at tomtittandbaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, and words you'd like to know about. And we don't mind hearing about the birds that you like and hate.
That's what I was going to say, Jen. I was going to say, write us and give us some of your favorite birds and why.
Teetotally.
Hey, if you like TNB and never want to miss an episode, subscribe and follow us.
Even better, leave a rating or a review. This helps other word nerds and puzzle lovers find our podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.